Freedom Ring. Some of you as old as me might remember an old movie that had that in it, and it'll bring some thoughts to your head. Independence Day. And that's every day. Every day we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Because, you know, God's love, God loves you no matter what. Hey, somebody here, if we were in almost any other foreign country than this country, the preacher would say, now look to someone to your left. I've been to Africa a couple of times, and look to someone to your right and say this: God loves you no matter what. Now you guys just turn to somebody and say that. It'll make your day better. God loves you no matter what. Now, Andy last week said everything's better with God, and I believe that. Marriage is better with God. If you don't believe it, try it. Your work is better with God. If you don't believe it, try it. Try it 30 days. The other guy will take you back if you don't like it. Okay, how about this? God's in charge, right? God is awesome. He's in charge all the time. And you know what? God's stronger than anything. Yeah! You guys must have been at VBS. And the other thing that's really cool is God is surprising. Yeah, thank you guys. My sermon's already going well. We're going to continue in the book of Acts. And first of all, I'd like to do a shout out. And these glasses are going to kill me, so they're going to be off and on. The lights are getting me. Where are we all from? Anybody from Kalkaska? Let's give it up for the people from Kalkaska. How about beyond that? Beyond that, anybody else traveled a little distance? Shout it out. Lake City. Any place else? Anybody further than that? Traverse City. How about anybody from out of state? Georgia, Florida. Woo! Yeah. Anybody from out of country? Could be. Anybody born from out of country? Well, even if there is, this message is for all of you. When we look in Ephesians, we look in Acts, Paul's talking to people just in that province. Then he's talking to the bigger surrounding area. And then he says to the whole world. So we're going to continue in Acts 19 here. And we're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. You truly are awesome, God. We recognize that you're in charge. You're surprising, God. And you love us no matter what. God, it's such a joy to worship you. Help us, Lord, to get something from this message today and to share it with someone else. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Acts 19:21 says, after this. And if you're a student of the Word, you'd ought to look before and see after what. Well, Andy told us after what. Paul was not from Ephesus. But he went there and he spent 3 months reasoning kind of with his own people, the Jewish people, and the synagogues. And they didn't like what he was laying down, they weren't picking up. And they just said, you know, you can go. So he went over to the Gentiles, and he spent 2 whole years. So if you're keeping track, that's 24 and 3 is about 27 months. Nobody paid him to go. He went to a people that wasn't his own people, and he worked with his own hands to support himself. He must really love those people. So when we hear what Paul told us today, please don't take offense. Also, don't be judgmental to someone else, because everything we're going to talk about today, we've probably wallered in. I've wallered in a bunch of it. And some of it we got caught, and some we didn't. But all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So with this, it's an encouragement to go from where we were, where we are, to someplace much better. And that place is called heaven. And Paul loved the people so much. Not only did he love on them, he told them the truth. And so we should love everybody. And I mean everybody. There's a long laundry list here. And for those of you who are fidgety, Mr. Jeff made a little, you know, match this with that. Feel free to do that. I'd sooner have you do that than thinking about your golf score. And then there's another one. which one of these pleases God. You can just fuss with that whenever you want to or on the way home. So, where are you from? I ask you, where am I from? Well, some people would say I'm from Onaway, but I'm really from darkness. And if you think about that, aren't all of us? When Jesus touched our heart, we came out from darkness. So about that time, there arose a great disturbance. Imagine that, about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business from the craftsmen. He called them together, along with the workmen and his related trades, and said, "Men, you know we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul," he's kind of trash-talking Paul, "has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all." Can you imagine that? Paul, from Tarsus, comes to Ephesus and actually had the gall to tell the people, "Your man-made gods are no gods at all." Who does he think he is? Who died and made him boss? Well, Jesus died. He didn't make him boss, but he made him a disciple. Because in Matthew 28, 19, 20, Jesus said, "Go into all the world," which would include Ephesus and would include Kalkaska and Traverse City and Florida and Georgia. And he said, "Go make disciples, followers of Jesus, followers of love and truth." And that's what Paul did for 27 months. And now he's still reasoning with people. If you see something, say something. I remember at work one day, I went in and we had a break table there. And some of the people said, "Hey, Jeff, sit down. I think I'd just come back from a mission trip." And I sat down, and on this break table, there was, you know, everybody's eating breakfast and all kind of coffee. And then there's this magazine laying on this table. And I found it repulsive. And I think sometimes we have a right to just get through life without being bombarded with a whole bunch of images. And on the front of this cover was this female dressed in red, a red velvet something or other, sprawled out across the front of this, and it's laying on the table. And I'm kind of like, I don't really appreciate that. And I said, "Ladies, say, I got a question for you." And they said, "Yeah, what is it, Jeff?" I said, "If your neighbor lady came over to your house dressed like that and sprawled out on the dining room table, how long would you let her lay there?" That's a good question. Joyce Tugin got up, grabbed the magazine, and threw it in the trash, right where it belonged. What gave her the right? Well, God called her to be a disciple, to share his love and truth with other people. Who died and made her boss? Well, Jesus died and made her a disciple. So sometimes when we go someplace, at that same break table, word got out I was going to a foreign country. And a lady was really, it bent her nose out of shape. And she said these words to me, "What gave you the right to go over there and tell them about your God? Who do you think you are?" I'm a child of the one true God. I'm a disciple. So while I was in this foreign country, and there's just thousands of wonderful people, there are millions of wonderful people, they had a newspaper that had English and their native language. And I'm reading the English section. And lo and behold, in that country, this was legal. If a woman from this would be like a township almost, township or maybe a province, went and dated a man from another province, had nothing to do with caste, just one province to another, all in the same country, she was guilty of misbehavior. When they found it out, the elders built a platform 7 foot tall, and the elders abused her in public to send a message. And that was legal. As far as I know, it's still legal today. I brought that newspaper clipping home, and I took it to that lady, and I said, "That's what gave me the right to go to another country, to tell about a loving God who loves you no matter what." Yeah! Because God is great. That's what gave Paul the right. He wasn't from there, but he saw things where people were worshiping a God that really wasn't even a God. So they continued, and you know, people want to mess up your mind, and you know, like, we're all together in this. Well, maybe we're not all together in this evil. But, well, they were going to lose some money. And there is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the whole world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. Well, when they heard that, now that was the throwdown word there. When they heard that, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Articus, Paul's traveling companions, that's in your notes, by the way, from Macedonia, and rushed as one into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Imagine this. Some were saying one thing, some were shouting another, and most did not even know why they were there. That sounds like America. Somebody shouts one thing, somebody shouts something else, we all get in a fuss, we all go protest about something, they say, "What you doing here?" "I really don't know." I mean, I've seen some sports teams from Michigan, when they won the whatever, the big deal, that they run out and they tip over police cars and they break windows. And it's like, what's that all about? We won. That's hard to translate that to a foreign country. You mean your team won and you destroyed property? Yeah, we're a strange group of people as well. So the Jews pushed Alexander to the front. Some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven?" Now, before I thought maybe they thought she fell, but it was just her image. I verified that with Andy, so this part I think I got right. So I think just they felt her image fell from heaven. Occasionally, even in Michigan, some meteorites will kind of burn out and they hit the sand here and it's just a blob of goo. And somebody picks it up and it takes me back to in the 70s, in this revolution they had ink blots, and the person would say, "What does this look like?" And you would always have some weird interpretation of what these two ink blocks meant. Well, I can imagine these two guys from Ephesus walking along and a meteor shoots from the sky, like, whoosh, burns up, boop. And they pick up this glob. And the one guy says to the other, "Hey, what does that look like to you?" He says, "Looks to me like a fertility goddess." The other guy said, "That's what I thought." And from that, this is my interpretation. I think this is where they think Artemis fell. And then they started making shrines and they're making statues and, you know, and it's like, and they made a great, great income from it. And, you know, they could say like, "Well, you guys with the printing company over there, if this guy keeps going, you're going to lose your business. And you guys with the food truck, people come here just to see this. If this goes down, you're going to lose your business." And they're in an uproar about nothing. That sounds a little bit like America, too. People are shouting and hooting and they don't even know why we're there. Now, therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to be quiet and not do anything. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. Think about that. Worshipping an idol is legal there in Ephesus. Worshipping idols in America is legal. There's an awful lot of things that are legal but don't please God. Now again, if we were in Africa, someone might bump the person next to them and say, "Bring it. You hear what he said? Just because something's legal doesn't mean it pleases God. Bring it now. Now bring it. Just because something's legal doesn't mean it pleases God." You got that? Turn to somebody and say, "Just because something's legal doesn't mean it pleases God." Go ahead and say that. Just because something's legal doesn't mean it pleases God. Is that true? Man, there is a whole bunch of nonsense in America that's legal that I'm embarrassed of. And it sure doesn't please God. Those silversmiths, what they were doing was legal. Now, Paul didn't change any rules. He didn't have a big protest. He didn't have a bunch of people sign a document and say, "We need to ban this worshiping gods." He changed people's hearts. It wasn't some new law. He was in a foreign country, but he changed people's hearts with the love of God. And when they changed, last week Andy said they threw away their scrolls. This week they threw away their shrines. One at a time, when we realize what pleases God and we're doing something different, we'll quit. When I was a young kid, I'm embarrassed to say it today, but I thought the Lord's name was only to be used in vain, and it was an adjective or something that was the describing word. And I said that from the time I could speak almost until I was 27 years old. And when I realized in the old church house that you weren't to use the Lord's name that way, I stopped that day. That was awfully hard to do because everything was this, this, this. It was an explainer. That was a hard thing to stop. But I realized it didn't please God. Now, there wasn't a law in America, I don't think, that says you couldn't do that. But when my heart was changed, I decided that was the last day I was going to do that. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of today's events. In that case, we could not be able to account for this commotion since there's no reason for it. After he said this, he dismissed the assembly. If you do something good and for God, do it in an orderly way. But go about one-on-one, trying to change people's hearts. And you'd be surprised if you say to somebody in love, you realize that that maybe might not be the best path for you to be on. In this business of being legal, several countries, it's legal to beat your wife. It's just legal. It might not have used to been. Then they passed a law. It's legal. And their arrest rates went down. There was less crime. Are any of you catching that? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? If you legalize something, that doesn't mean you moralized it. You might normalize it. There's 2 points. But it doesn't please God. So in New York, we quit arresting people for whatever. And the crime rate went down. At least the petty crime. Now the murder and the rapes and that went up. But if we legalized rape, just think that would go down. Isn't that stupid? I'm sorry, that was a bad S word. But sometimes this country we live in, now Paul's going to call them to be something other than Ephesians. But let that one sink in. Now we're going to go, because it's written and lived out in Ephesians, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And there is just a ton of stuff about me in here. Just a whole bunch about how I once lived and some things I still struggle with. So I'm not throwing rocks, trust me. I do live in a glass house. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. When I got the text, so the text was given to me. It wasn't something I dreamed up. But when I look at that, the first time I look at something for a message, I say, how do I need to change? Maybe there's something I'm doing all right, but there's probably stuff I need to change. That's how this has developed. I want you to look at it that way. So living in children of light. Ephesians 4, verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. He was talking to Gentiles. That would be like me saying this. Now, I didn't say this. Well, I quit living as Americans. Did I say that out loud? Aren't we called to be Christians? When we get to heaven, I would be pretty confident that there's not a gate that says American Christians, Chinese Christians, Ephesian Christians. I think it's just going to say Christians. America died and fought for a lot of your freedoms, but they did not free you from sin. Jesus Christ died on a cross to free us from our sins. That's the true Independence Day. He is my one and only allegiance, that I've never been embarrassed in my life to say I'm for Jesus. Amen? There are things that happen in America that I am embarrassed for. There are things in America that are legal that I am embarrassed to say I'm an American because of those things. I will tell you that. That's me. You can choose as you want to. So he called them to a higher calling. He called them to Jesus. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. We normalize stuff and normalize it. Pretty soon our hearts are hard. Little Josiah God was waiting for him to get up to the ripe old age of 8 before his dad, who was the king before him, died because his dad was so evil. God realized that 8-year-old boy could lead the nation of Israel better than his father. And when Josiah grew up, they found the book. They were in the temple. And when they found the book was the Bible. And when they read the book, he ripped his clothes because they realized how far they'd gotten from God. They were living what the country told them to live. It was normal. It was legal. But when they read the book, he ripped his clothes because he realized how far he'd gotten away from God's truth. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What was one of those times I wasn't so happy to be an American? You people my age might remember a garbage barge that went from New York down to Louisiana, back to New York, down to Louisiana. They thought it had toxic waste in it. And then we didn't hear any more about it. Guess where that ended up? Gonaive, Haiti. Guess who was in Gonaive, Haiti that year? Guess what they did with that toxic waste? They dumped it in the ocean on the beach. Then Greenpeace came, sucked it all up, put it in barrels, and wrote on English, danger. The people saw the plastic barrels brand new and thought, the barrel gods have dropped barrels down on us. They dumped it all out, filled it full of drinking water, and several people died. And when the children swam in the ocean, they came out with boils on them. And all of the fish rolled up. And people said, where did that barge come from? United States of America. And they asked me, hey, where are you from? I said, hey, baby, I'm from darkness. Where were you born? I said, I've been born again. I was not happy to be an American that day because they wanted to kill an American and I did not blame them. Now, I realize it wasn't you, but our country did that. They allowed it to happen. We need to be Christians. We need to think about how we can better someone else. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands. For what reason? That he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building up others. I struggle with that still. Idle talk. Just the other day, I had the opportunity to take a couple of kids out on a boat, and I kind of teased the one more than he could take, and my heart hurt. And I said to him, I apologize. You know, we don't always have to make a little joke at someone else's expense. Chapter 5, be imitators of God. That one hits me a lot. Who are we trying to imitate in our dress, in our talk? We tried to imitate Madonna. We trying to imitate. Who is that person that we would take as our role model? It ought to be Jesus Christ. So just ask yourself personally, would Jesus watch this on TV? Just before I was telling people about the old Top Gun movie, if I could find it, you could all watch my old Top Gun movie. There's not a problem in it. Because when it comes to that one scene, I had a VHS. We taped it over. And it says, take your breath away. And then it comes in, come to Shear Motors. We got a car for you. Just come on down to Shear Motors. There's 2 minutes of commercial. And then it goes back to the guy taking off on his motorcycle. It's the only bad thing in the movie. And they think we got to just throw up garbage in everything we watch. And our kids are exposed to it. But we ought to be imitators of Jesus. But among you there should not be any hint of sexual immorality, impurity, or greed, because of these improper things are not for God's holy people. We're going to skip right down to verse 10. Here's my 3-point sermon. Those of you who know me, I'm big on 3-point sermons in order and keeping things straight. Ephesians 5:10. Find out what pleases God. Now, I do want you to boldly tell the person next to you, find out what pleases God. Yeah. Find out what pleases God. That's the assignment. That's the second. Now, the second point of my sermon, like real preachers have, like justification, sanctification, they all rhyme. Mine rhymes too, Andy. Find out what pleases God, point one. Point two, find out what pleases God. And guess what? Point three, find out what pleases God. Now, Nike's made bazillion dollars just saying, just do it. Before that, it was, if it feels good, do it. I'm saying, if God's pleased, do it. And for God's sake, if He's not, stop doing it. Because the world has just come incrementally, bit by bit, bit. I was telling this to someone, they said, Jeff, you realize you can take a live reptile. You put it in water, you turn up the heat, and pretty soon it will expire and never realize it. And that's what we are. We've just gotten a little bit of garbage, a little bit of garbage, a little bit of garbage. And if we're not reading the good news and we're only watching the news, well, this is legal. Well, that's a relief. Well, this is legal. That's a relief. Well, this crime is down. Bull. Immorality is up. But Jesus rose up from the grave. And we were not brought from darkness into light to lead a life that way. And I do not want to advocate to make a new law. God gave us two. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we got a little clip. I've given you a bunch of stuff, and I had more, but I realized that's enough. That's a lot to chew on. So we're going to have a little clip, and I want to say, I haven't seen this, so I hope it turns out well. Let's see.
There are times I wonder, how can I really please the Lord?
Something on your mind? Chew on it. The Word of God has the answers.
Let's give them a hand. Many of us may be headed for the beach or to the lake or to your favorite quiet spot. We can bring the lights back up a little if possible. Although sometimes that calming. Now, when you leave today, we got some Twizzlers for you. So if this was a tough message, I want to send a little something sweet home with you. And we might need some volunteers. Some of those people who responded to God loves you. God loves you no matter what. Now you folks could help Mr. Jeff. You can go out a little early and Andy might help you get a bucket. And we're going to give Twizzlers to everybody. And when you open that up, and you chew on it, and you think, am I really pleasing God with what I watch, with what I read, with how I dress, with how I treat my wife? I could go on and on. These are all things for me. How I treat young children. Do I bring them up and encourage them to walk with God? Or do I tease them at the expense of a silly joke? Am I an encourager? Barnabas, son of encouragement. How'd you like people to say, when you're in the box, you know, man, they were an encourager. Every time I seen them, they had a smile for me and they encouraged me. Man, that's what we need to live for. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now again, Africa really had an impact on me. And when you would be doing something for good for Jesus, somebody would lay one of these on you. I like how you do. I like how you. Turn to someone and say, I like how you do. I like how. Now, you got to be doing it for someone to be liking on it. But at the end of time, I think when God brings them people from Africa in, instead of saying, well done, good and faithful servant, God is going to say, you know, I like how you do. I love that. So when we get that Twizzler and we start changing how we've been doing and we start thinking about what's going to be pleasing God, I think God's going to say, you know, I like how you do. And there might be some people in Kalkaska that go out of business. Because if everybody here that had been doing that porn quit doing that porn, unless you think it pleases God, there would be a lack in sales and people would be up in arms. So we're going to have the band come up. I'm going to pray. I want you to chew on what pleases God. So let's bring the band up. And I think, yeah, I surprised them. I'm almost on time today. Now, Independence Day. There could be some of you who've already chewed on this and said, if you would shut up, I'd like to be baptized. There's water here. And not only would that be an amazing thing for you, but it would make you one of the most powerful beings in the universe, because when someone repents of their sins, the angels in heaven stop what they're doing. It's a law. They have to stop what they're doing and they rejoice with you as you come into Jesus Christ. And today and every day, we're ready. In Michigan, you can't go 3 miles in any direction without finding water. And if you're one of those people that always thought, you know, but I wanted to be baptized in Torch River or the headwaters of the Manchester Creek. Somebody told me that. I trudged with him for 2 miles and he was baptized at the headwaters of the Manchester Creek. I know where that's at. If you want to go to a location, we do location baptisms. But the biggest thing is where there's water deep enough to bury your sins. And we got it right here and right now. And today could be your Independence Day. That you're independent from those addictions, independent from those evil thoughts, and you've taken Jesus as your King. And you might say, fella, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God, and He's put a message on my heart because someone gave me that message, and I traded my sorrows. I traded all the garbage I've got, all the nonsense I did as a teenager, and God wiped it clean. You know where the North Pole is? There's a North Pole. You know where the South Pole is? There's a South Pole. There is not an East Pole. If you go east, you keep going east. If you go west and you go all the way back around, you're still going west. That's how far Jesus took your sins, and He remembers them no more. That's the best gift you can have. And it's available right now. So come and get you some of it, and God's going to say, I like how you do. Let's pray. God, I thank You for this opportunity to bring Your love. And it's a difficult subject because a lot of those things I'm still struggling with. But God, I know You're not done with me yet. And Lord, just help us all to chew on what it takes to please You. We ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those of you who've chewed on it, I'll be right here and the waters are ready. Come on up.